Jackson. You gonna come up here, man? Thank you, Doug and Shelly. Turn, if you would, to your in your scripture to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we'll be looking at 18 through 25 in our series, the book of Romans, How Great a Salvation, in our ongoing series. And just today, the thought about the anatomy of sin. Understanding, and I said earlier, and when we asked ourselves, how did we get here? We can go to God's Word and understand that. If we'll just listen to the truth, we'll see where we are as a culture. We'll see how where we are as depravity of man. We'll see these things that are will be manifested in this sermon today and through the preaching of God's Word. So I want us to keep that in mind, that question, how did we get here? And how we'll answer that question. So if you would, stand to your feet. Romans chapter 1, and let's reverence God's Word by the reading, 18 through 25. Romans 1, 18 through 25, and the Word of God says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made of corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore." Let's pray. Father, for a few minutes, I pray in Jesus' name You'll show us what it is You're trying to teach us today. I pray every heart will be open to receive Your Word. May Your Word go forth. Hide me behind the cross. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. When I was dating Sandy, you know, and you guys can relate to this, okay? When that woman, that special woman that God has brought in your life, and you know that she's the one, right? And what do we start thinking about? We start thinking about, let's go out and buy that special ring for that special woman. I said that's what she did. She backhanded me. Do I still have that scar on my hand? She's not in here, so I can do that. She's probably listening. I'm in trouble. But listen, no, that's I hit that on the refrigerator. But when I knew she was the woman that God had brought in my life, I wanted to find that ring. We didn't have Jared's, okay? I didn't go to Jared's. But I went to K Jewelers, so I'm dating myself. Went to K Jewelers, and I'm looking at that ring, you know. And you guys kind of fumble around through that, right? They don't really know. They're trying to think of what ring that fit that special woman the best. And as I went into K Jewelers, the salesperson, the jeweler slash salesperson, okay, comes out. And what they do, they bring out all these rings. And they had this post. They have all this black velvet. You know, it's black felt. And they have this big post that's made out of black felt. And they'll put each ring on that, right? Why do they do that? Why do they put it on that piece of black felt? It's because it makes that diamond just sparkled on it. It makes it just stand out so greatly. And I want you to know when we get to this place in Romans today, that last week we saw the great jewel, the great diamond of the gospel that Paul said, you know, this is the gospel and I'm not ashamed of it. It has the power of God. And so we have this beautiful diamond, clear as it can be, and he's going to set it against the backdrop of human depravity this morning. And so I want us to keep that in mind as we're studying this out. The depravity of man, the sinfulness of man. How did we get here? How is it that we think the way that we do? How is it as a nation that we've become what we've become and come so far from what it used to be or what everybody said it used to be? How is it? And so I want us to think about the natural way of thinking. I want to think about the natural man, how he thinks and how he processes. You'll say, well, why is that important? Listen, while I was studying this, it's very easy as we read those scripture, we think us and them.
But I want you to know this is every one of us's problem at some time in our life. We're born into sin. And so we can, if we can understand sin in our own lives, then we can overcome it through the power of God's Word also. And here's something to think about. If we understand the natural mind and the way it thinks, then that's a tremendous tool in your toolbox when you're evangelizing and spreading the good news of the gospel. It's understanding the worldview. You've heard me say worldview. It's what you process, why you make your decisions. Listen, I hope that we're all going Tuesday to vote if you've not already voted. And it's a lot of time it's your worldview of what causes you to pick somebody or choose somebody. And I never, like I said, never push who I tell you this is who you should choose. It's not the place for that. But I do say, take this word, understand this word, and line up with the person that lines up with God's word. If your worldview is about economics and all these other things, it's a skewed view of what the biblical worldview is. You take care of the morals and the decency. God will take care of the economy. Does anybody believe that this morning? We got it mixed up. So our worldview, understanding the depravity of man, understanding Paul's informing the Romans and us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit down through the ages that this is written thousands of years ago, and yet we find ourselves in its pages today. Is the Word of God relevant in 2016? You better believe it is. And it can help us, and it can catch us right where we are, and it can show us where our world is, where we are, why is it we process, what is it that we think, and we can see this morning exactly where we stand when it comes to thus says the Word of God. And that's what Paul is doing when he's bringing out this anatomy of sin, this depravity of man. I want us to look at three principles in the anatomy of sin this morning. And first, it's the suppression of truth. Look at verses 18 through 20. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." We don't have any problem. Last week, we see in verse 17, it says, For the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel, in the truth. We see that it's revealed in truth. And then this week, we see that the wrath of God is being revealed. And you say, people in today's culture, especially speaking the sensibility of modern man, they don't like this idea of a God of wrath. Have you noticed that? They just don't like the idea that God has, He's a wrathful God also. They'll embrace the loving God, but when we talk about the wrath of God, they kind of detach from that. And I want you to know that it's the two heads on one coin. You have the righteousness of God. The wrath of God comes out of the righteousness of God. Why is it wrath? Why is He wrath? And why is the wrath poured out on the children of disobedience? We'll see that this morning. It's the head. It's two heads on one coin. It's the wrath of God is a real thing, and so we don't like about that. But through the Holy Spirit, Paul is writing these scriptures, and he's talking about this wrath that's been revealed. Verse 18, "For the wrath is revealed." And this idea of wrath is not uncontrolled. We get the word thumos from thermos from, which means hot, red hot, or out of control, or impulsive. But it's the word orga, and it means settled, determined, controlled. You see, the wrath of God is not like the wrath of man. When we think of somebody wrath, we think of somebody, what, pitching a fit, right? Pitching a fit. It's not the wrath of God and the wrath of man. We can't equate God's wrath into the wrath of man. But it's this controlled, it's determined, and it's settled. The righteousness of God and the wrath of God go hand in hand. And why? The suppression of the truth. Evil men suppress the truth, and that word suppress means to hold down. This is actively aggressive, and here's the deal. They don't allow it to surface. What? The truth. Do you realize you live in a world that people say they're searching for the truth? How many times? All around you, and yet they don't want the truth. What would a few good men, "You can't handle the truth." They don't want the truth. Why? It's suppressed. It's held down, and we'll see that. We'll play this. Why would men do that? We're going to see that as we go on. Sinful humanity is involved in a conspiracy. Not just a few, but many. A conspiracy of what? A conspiracy of the mind. Listen, we think we're Homo sapiens. We're the top of the heap. We're so smart. We're made in the image of God. We can rationalize. We can think. And yet, there's a conspiracy going on. Why? Because we suppress the truth. We don't want to know the truth. We don't want to hear the truth. We think that we're so great thinkers. I want you to know that we are intelligent. We are made in the image of God, and we see the intelligence, but how intelligent is somebody that suppresses the truth, suppresses revelation, and we'll see that. And so think about it. We're surrounded by this whole idea, this whole culture that says we're looking for truth, that you can't really know the truth. There is no truth. It's relative. It's really one person believes this way, one person, but it's still truth. That's not even logical. Goodness, but that's the world that you live in. Truth is relative. It's whatever you believe, that's your right to believe it, and so I'm not going to say it's not truth. Listen, this is our standard. For goodness sake, how many times do we have to say this? Especially in God's house, this is our standard. If it doesn't line up with this, then our life should not line up with it. You don't have to scratch your head and say, well, I really don't know where I stand on that issue. What does the Word of God? You see, it's that relative thinking of truth that says, well, I'm not sure. You can be sure. And the only way that we're not sure is that we suppress the truth. And we're accountable. Look at verse 19. What does it say? Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. So this truth is not like we're searching for the unknowable. It's not like something we can't find, this jewel that can't be found. But this truth says that because God made it known, manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. God has shown it to everybody. He has revealed His truth. He has made it known. So the great enemy is not ignorance. You know, that's our system, right? Educate everybody. The great enemy is not ignorance. It's our will that denies the truth. You know, you have an intellect, yes, but your will supersedes the intellect many times. How do we know that? Because it says here that God made it manifest, and yet we suppress the truth. What the will drives our intellect. And yet mankind holds down this knowledge of God, that He's the creator and sustainer of the entire universe. We have to come up with something. We have to come up with some scientific idea to make it all fit. Why do we do that? Why do we have to come up? Oh, listen, oh, the Big Bang one time, man, the whole universe was condensed down to the size of a pinhead. And then bang, it all fell right into place. And I'm thinking, you know, they're so close to the truth. Because once there wasn't, then there was when God said, let there be, and bang, it fell all into place, okay? They get so close to the truth and yet miss the truth. Why? Because if there is a God, then we have to answer to Him. We're not the top of the heap. We're not God then. You see, that's where we're going to get and we're going to see. We want to believe in the God, but we want to believe in the God that fits our agenda. It just fits right in. We want that buffet religion. We want to pick and choose what makes it fit, but when it doesn't line up with what we think, what we believe is the truth, then we just push it to the side, and we just pull out what it is exactly that we want. That's where we're at in our churches today, by the way, in Christianity in America. It's a buffet religion. Just pick and choose what you want. Why? Because you have that right, suppressing the truth. And because verse 20 says, listen, how do they suppress it? For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even in His eternal Godhead, power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He said, it's been revealed in what? Something so simple. Just step outside. In creation, we call this general or natural revelation. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Embedded in creation is the knowledge of God. And it's clearly seen. Listen, you step out here on a nice, cool, especially cold winter night. You get away from the lights, and look up in the sky. Oh, that's what it's like. Now, the only place I know of when I was over in Kenya, Africa, I couldn't believe it when we were on mission trips, and we had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to Nairobi and fly back. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, me and Sandy got a neck ache. Why? I could not believe you could even see the little. It was the whole Milky Way. There's so many stars. It was like unbelievable. And the psalmist says the heavens declare the glory of God. It's there for all of us. Listen, do you realize it takes roughly, it's 186,260 some feet a second that light travels. Yeah, that's pretty fast, right? You've never had a car to go that fast, by the way. 186,000 miles per second. Do you know it would take you 125,000 years to go and cross our galaxy? That second, that fast, 125,000 years. And yet this is one of a million of galaxies. The Milky Way, one of a million. The God of the universe that we can step out at any time. Listen, I can step out and I can see the birds eating my bird seed and I can see God in it. I can see everything that fits together. I can see the squirrels. I can hear the river. I can see all the mountains. I can see all these things. And you know what this says? It says that points to a creator and sustainer. How can anybody think it just all fell into existence, that we're on that rotation, that we're on that orbit, and everything just fell into place? It takes more faith to believe that garbage than it does, thus says the Word of God. Because we're so knowledgeable, again, we have so great an intellect, and we're so knowledgeable, and so we have to make everything fit. God has revealed, and He cries out, and it's called general revelation. And here's the deal. General revelation will never save you. In other words, you can't go outside and say, oh, there's God, and you come in a relationship with Him, but it can condemn you. You say, what are you talking about? He says, nobody's without excuse. You mean that guy out on the island that's never heard about Jesus? He won't go to hell, will he? Without excuse. Is that not what the Scripture says? Without excuse, you don't scratch your head anymore and say, well, how does that work? Without excuse. He is without excuse. Why? Because he's got the general revelation that pulls him to the God. And here's the deal. If that pulls him to the Creator God, he will get somebody there to speak to him about salvation. So he's without excuse, and so we see this and we understand the heavens declare the glory of God. So no one will ever be able to stand before God one day and say, I didn't know. That's what the Scripture teaches us. But not only is there a suppression of truth, a holding down of the truth, but listen, a perversion of the truth. Listen to 21 and 23. Because although they knew God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. The perversion of the truth. Not only a suppression of the truth, but a perversion of the truth. What did man? Man turns from revelation to philosophy. Thinking they were wise. Oh, we think we're so wise. Thinking they're wise. What does it say? All their speculations cannot replace the revelation that they rejected, okay? In our vast knowledge, we cannot replace what God has revealed, even though we try desperately. The greatest fool in the world is the person who exchanges God's wisdom for the truth for man's wisdom. And yet we live, our universities push. It's no wonder our kids go off and they scratch their head. Why? Because they teach them that there is no God and that you're the top of the heap and man's philosophies and all the great thinkers and all that went back. Nobody, they didn't believe in God. How can you be foolish enough to think about God or believe in a God that you've never seen, tasted, smelled, all these things, and they just play right into the way that we are and the way that we're born because we like to suppress the truth. Because if there's not a God, then I can just live like an animal. Oh, yeah. Can do whatever I want to do if there's not a God. You see, and we'll see that played out, this perversion and not. They know God, but they don't honor God. They even, His revelation in a real, they know Him, and yet, but they don't honor Him. They refuse to worship Him, so what do? They worship the created. Listen, born in every human being is a vacuum to worship. You believe that? Do you understand that? That's why it doesn't matter where you go around the world. Man creates so many different religions, so many different things to worship this God, this vacuum that's in his heart that's not a God. They just want to fill that void. And what does he fill it with? Well, first thing that man worships is himself. Okay? It's what he says. He's made in the image of corruptible man. He said they forgot about the incorruptible God, and so they make and worship themselves. You live in that world, by the way, where people worship themselves. You live in a world that tells you to worry about yourself. Don't worry about anybody else. You live in a world that says, you know what? God would have you just to take care of you. Don't you worry about everybody else. That is so unbiblical. God says, if you love me, you're going to love each other. And so taking care of ourselves is just, all it is self-worship. We live in that world today. And he says, professing to be wise, they became what? Fools. Fools. Idolatry begins in the mind. And when we prefer or exchange the idea of God for something else other than the reality of God, it's perverted in the worship. And look what it does. This suppression of the truth leads to idolatry, leads to worship. You say, well, you know what? I would never bow down to this bitch or Almighty God. I would never do that. You think that's foolish, and yet what do we bow down to? The altars of materialism? The altars of hobbies? We teach our kids that sports is more important than church. Oh, I'd never do that. Where do you spend your time then? Where do you spend your time? Here comes Sunday. We'll miss Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. It's all right because these altars that we worship upon is okay. And God understands. Listen, that's a rationalization of the truth. And when we worship God, we put him first. And anything that we put in front of God is an idol. Anything. Anything. We've got to get back to where we understand that we can see ourselves in these things. Fools is a word that we get moros from. Moron. And look what happens. Look at, they profess to be wise, but then what happens? Verse 23. And exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image made incorruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. You say, how in the world does people get there? We see the stages. They suppress the truth. They pervert the truth. And they start worshiping whatever and anything and everything. You see, we're easy, again, to put ourselves over in the bush and these people with totem poles and or whatever, or golden calves that we see even the children of Israel did. It's easy for us to say that as them, but it's harder when we look at our own idols in our own life. Oh, we don't want to go there. We love Jesus. Your life plays out what you love. Your life plays out your first love. And what do? They exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for what? Things that he created. How do you bow down to an animal when there's a God that made it up there that says, listen, I want a relationship with you. He don't want a relationship with the animals. He came, Christ came to die at Easter and be resurrected for you to redeem mankind. He made us in his image to glorify him. Yes, the world glorified him and as far as the animals and nature and all these things, but he only made you in his image to bring him glory. Why would we worship? It says it begins with birds that fly around. Oh, we're fascinated. Man, it's always been fascinating. Fly. Wright brothers show up, but we're not so fascinated with that anymore. Fascinated with animals. So we'll worship animals. Bulls are so strong, or whatever you want to put there, we'll worship animals. Or we'll get down to even creeping things, creepy crawlers. Oh, snakes and bugs and all. Why in the world would a rational, thinking human being worship a bug or a cow or an animal or a bird? They have a vacuum. They suppress the truth. They want to worship something, so they make God into what they want him to be. Why? So they can live any old way they want to. First man worships himself first and foremost, then he rejects the truth of God. He makes up a God that will fit into his schedule. They become fools morally. They worship birds, cows, bugs. We must ever keep the majesty of God before us. We have lost the majesty of God. We've lost the reverence of God. To keep him before us at all times, thinking about, listen, every beat You've heard me say this. Every beat of my heart, every breath that I take, every spin of the earth, God is sustaining that. And yet we'll get so caught up in whatever little situation is weighing upon us that we forget about the majesty of God and His goodness and what He can do for us. And we'll just put whatever, we'll throw an idol in there because it takes our mind off the reality of life. And the reality of life is it's good when we're serving God and we're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, will there be hardships? Yes, sir. That's okay, though. Why? I serve a God that overcomes hardships and sees me through. I serve a God that said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. One of these days that trumpet's going to sound, I don't know what it's going to sound like, but boom, out of here. And you're saying, who is that idiot over there and on the way up? It's Preacher David. Why? He never got over it. We get over the majesty of God. We get over His goodness. And we worship idols. We become idolaters. And we say we love Jesus and we put everything else in front of Him. Good gracious, will anything of convenience, we're people of convenience. Whatever we want to do, that's what we want to do. And we want to bring Jesus in there with it and say, He's all right with it. Yet when we're turning our back on Him, it's idol worship. It's not putting Him first in life. He's God. He's our Holy Father. He's holy other. He's far above even the words of our mouth. That He's worthy of our lives and giving ourselves wholly over to Him. Growing in grace and knowledge, working together for the kingdom's purpose and the glorification of God in a community and lives and all around the world. He's worthy of that. We need a deep humility and reverence when we speak and when we live for Him each day. Well, that's a suppression of the truth, a perversion of the truth, and then I want us to look at a perversion of life, and we'll pick this up also next week as we get into it with the part two of this. It says, therefore, lest we see, okay, we see this step. We see that man suppressed truth. We see that man perverts the truth. And then we're going to see what does man do with it. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Look what happens. We see the futile thinking doesn't end with idolatry. God gave them up. That's sad verses, okay? God gave them up or He gives them over. What does He give them over to? What they want. What they ask for. He gives them over to what? Uncleanness to what? Most people will say that this is a warning. Listen, when you hear people, a lot of people preach this and they'll say, this is a warning to America and all the great empires. Look at the Romans. Look at the Greeks. Look at whatever. And look how they fell when they went at. Listen, this is not a warning about empires. This is a warning about humanity and sin and where to go and where it takes us. This is a warning to show you, how did we get here? Here it is. This is a warning to show us that this is what's in the heart of every man. Well, I'm born that way. You're exactly right. You were. It's called sin. Okay? You're born into sin. And so you say, well, I was born that way. That propensity and all that. Yeah, that's called sin. We're all born that way. Each and every one of us. And we see this perversion of life. And you know what? Here's the deal. It happened. It began in a garden. It began in a garden with perfection, a perfect man, a perfect woman, a perfect relationship to each other, a perfect relationship to God. Come on, man. Can you not see? I would love that. One of these days I'm going to have that. But it began that way, but because man chose sin, his vast knowledge chose to suppress what God had said, this will happen to you. He chooses sin, and sin ushers in death and all this garbage that comes in with it. Who's to blame in that scenario? Well, God's to blame. No, man is. Man made the choice. It's our fault. It begins in a garden. And so from that, this fallen intellect, this fallen knowledge has come from that disobedience against God. And death and all these things enters the picture. And it's tainted from what it was that God wanted it to be. Separation from Him and the consequences of sin. And it weighs in our life. And so this suppression of truth and perversion of truth leads to perversion of life. God gave them over. The process of giving them what they want. When it comes to thinking of God, we cannot reason here's the deal. A lost man cannot reason their way to God. You know, you have so many people saying, well, when I get it figured out, good luck with that. That was me, by the way. When I get this thing figured out, or here we're always striving to get to a certain level, and then we'll invite God into our life. You know what you're saying? I just need to get this sin out of my system first. I need to sow my wild oats or whatever it is that the garbage of the world says, and then I'll get right with God. It's kind of for older people anyway, you know. They get it all right. Listen, that's a lie from the pit. And you'll never get it right. Why? Because this mind cannot get to that cross on its own without the Holy Spirit of God in a heart. A regenerated heart. And you can ration and try to logically understand, but it never gets to the cross. Because of what? The natural man thinks it's foolishness. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to the natural man. That's why when you go up sometimes and you tell somebody about Jesus, they think you're an idiot. Which, who is the idiot in that situation? We don't say that, but that's God's word. He's saying that they think it's foolishness. Why? We don't have time for God to fit in our busy schedules. Why? Oh, I got so much to do. I got careers and this and that, and I want to have this and I want to have that. Listen, we just leave God by the wayside. Oh, when we need Him, we pull Him out. Oh, come on, God, let me pull you out like a billfold when I'm done. Let me put you back up. I don't need you no more. Like a divine waiter. Oh, Lord, I need this. I need this, Lord. But when we're done with Him, we just cast Him to the side. God will never fit into your thinking when He is done and treated that way. He's God. He desires to have a relationship with each person, and He pulls. He said He wishes that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. He wishes that mankind hears the gospel, sees that beautiful, bright, brilliant diamond of the gospel against the backdrop of sin for humanity. What does He say? He gives them up. What does He give them up to? The lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies. If it feels good, do it. You're living in that culture, by the way. Hey, it's part of the church. 1950 to 2010, it was 20-80 flop. It used to be that 80% of the people thought that it was wrong to have sex outside of marriage. Now it's completely turned around. 80% of the people thinks it's okay. And people just live, you know, they just rationalize, and they never come to grips that God thus says the Word of God, and we just make it fit into our buffet religion. If we want to do it and feel good, God loves us. He'll put up with it. He'll forgive us. That is suppressed truth. That is perverted truth. That is perverted living. And we can learn. No education can correct this. They cannot come to know God, and people cannot come to know God on their own. The unregenerate mind can learn things, but it cannot learn the things of God. There's some very smart, intelligent people in this world. Very smart, intelligent. What's wrong? There's nothing wrong with a Christian being intelligent, Bob. We need to honor God with our minds. We don't need to dumb down Christianity. But listen, it doesn't matter how intelligent a person is, they cannot know God through human reasoning. So what does God do? He gives them up. What do they want? We want to do whatever we want to do as much as we want to do it. We just want to have a good time. Girls are not the only one that wants to have fun. Everybody does. We want to live by our standard. We want to live by what we think is right. And we never think of the consequences. And what does God do? God says He gives them over. And that's what we get. Here's the deal. He gives them over while Christ stands at the cross with His arms open wide and say, all those who desire to know Me, I come to Me, I will in no wise cast out. I don't know, I'm searching for the truth. When the truth stands there and says, I love you this much, just receive My forgiveness. Quit trying to figure it out. What is it that God is speaking to you about in your own life? Be honest about it. Quit buffeting religion and say, what does the Word of God say? Start making your decisions on the Word of God, not what you feel like, what it feels good, none of those things. What does the Word of God say? We want to raise up a generation that will change our world, then we've got to give up our idols, man. We've got to turn loose of the things that we think is so important and start saying, listen, Lord, you're what's most important. And find a fulfilled life in Him. We need to ask God what it is. Listen, because the truth of the matter is, we're idolaters when we don't live in that way. And if we have never received Christ, we'll spend eternity in hell because the wrath of God rests upon us. And the whole eternity will probably be saying, I knew the truth. I knew the truth. I knew the truth. And yet we think it's so important in our little speck of life that we have right here that we find our what it is that makes us happy. There's a lot of you right here that struggle with depression and anger and all these things just because you're trying to make God fit in to a life that He might not want you to fit into, okay? You're trying to find the Lord on your own terms. And God's saying, listen, just give it up. Quit trying to figure it out. Just give it up. Give it to me. Cast your cares on me. Righteousness is available this morning, but it's your choice. Linda, come play. We'll have a time of decision. Guys, here's some applications to go along with this. What is your worldview this morning? Let's be honest. What is your worldview? Your worldview will prove out if it's based on a biblical understanding. If you're one of those people that say, you know, I really don't know where I stand on certain issues, or you lean way left, where are you drawing from and what is it that you're drawing from? Because it's not this. It doesn't have anything to do with left or right. It has to do with biblical or unbiblical, okay? Period. Where's your worldview from? Where do you stand on issues, the moral issues of the day? Oh, do you think it's just all right to do whatever, all under the umbrella of God's love? Where's your worldview? Does your life line up with what you believe? You say, well, I love Jesus. How's your life lined up? What are you doing? How are you living? How are you acting? How do you talk? How do you walk? What difference are you making in the school or at work? Does your life line up with what you believe? Or do you say one thing out your mouth and act another with your life? What is it? Lastly, do you have the peace of God in your life? Is your life a turmoil? Are you searching for something? Are you looking for that next level? You think it's the next level and you're searching for something because you're like, I'm missing something. I'm missing something, but it's like with all my heart, I feel this pull to something, but I don't know what it is. You'll never figure out what it is until you give into it and let the Lord Jesus come into your life, okay? You cannot find the peace of God on your own. It only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Quit trying to understand Him with your mind and give Him your heart. Just come to Jesus this morning. Who cares what anybody thinks? Well, I've been going to this church a long time. Guess what? Man, you will not give an account before man one day. And for every person that would say a bad thing or point out something, they got to stand and give an account for that before a holy God one of these days. What is it God wants in your life? Let's stand to our feet. Brittany's going to start singing in just a minute. If you've got something that you need to lay down today, talk to the Lord about it. If you need to be saved, you need to come to a relationship with the Lord showed you through the Holy Spirit. Listen, I think like that. That's how I think. God's revealed to you you're lost today. Come to Jesus through His Word. He reveals that. How is it that we've got where we're at as a nation? God's Word revealed that to us today. Man's thinking. When was the last time you went out and you found, you understood, well, that's the way they think. Instead of scratching your head, wondering why it is that sinners act like they act like sinners are going to act like a sinner. The problem with me is when Christians, professing Christians, act like sinners, that's what I have a problem with. The sinner's going to act like a sinner. What is it God wants you to do today? You answer Him in obedience. Go ahead, Brittany. What's the Lord saying to you today? without Him, you'll surely fail. I promise. Don't be hopeless. Listen to this. Do you know Him today? Verse, whatever it is, don't leave here disobedient to God. If He spoke to your heart, just come and give it to Him. Spoken to your heart, if walking an aisle was something that was very foreign or you didn't feel like you have comfort to doing that, come see me. Talk to me about the Lord. If you don't know Him, don't leave lost. There's no guarantee that we'll ever make it the next second. Why? Because He only gives us right now. Whatever it is God's spoken to your life, let me know. I love you. I'm here for you anytime. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock, and we'll have our choir practice at 5. Have a great Bible study. Come on back with us. I love you. Lay in the end is in prayer, please.